Believers in Bigfoot say.
Is Bigfoot real or not? That's the first question of this episode. A lot of people have been pondering this question for decades, and in other centuries and other cultures, there was no question. It was just an assertion, by whatever name and whatever language, Bigfoot was real to them. This week on the podcast, we break away from true crime to discuss true weird, which we'll probably do once a month. And what's it about? We're just going to discuss Bigfoot and Bear Brook State Park in Allenstown, New Hampshire. And I tell my own Bigfoot story that I mostly only allude to in our everyday lives because it's just that weird. How weird? It's so weird that one of the weirdest, quirkiest writers, me, out there, just doesn't tell people about it. That's weird. Join us as we talk about Bigfoot and maybe my own personal experience with him at Bear Brook State Park. Thanks for being here on Dude No. Hey, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, baby.
So I'm here, Carrie, with Shawnee. He's a little cranky today, but he's pretending he's not cranky. We're going to go back to my very vulnerable podcast. This is a vulnerable podcast.
I know it is, baby. I know.
And you're over there being a little crank.
I'm not cranky at all.
All right, let's go back to our question. Ready?
I'm ready.
Is Bigfoot real?
I don't know that answer yet.
Like we said, for a lot of people throughout the world in history, Bigfoot, or whatever you wanted to call him or her, it was just an accepted norm of their culture, right?
Yeah.
But right now, in 2022, we're not so sure. YouTube channels that focus only on Bigfoot stories have more than 100,000 subscribers.
Is that all?
That's a lot. There are podcasts and TV shows devoted to finding the elusive cryptid. There are podcasts and YouTube channels devoted to debunking the videos, audios, and still images that people say is proof that Bigfoot is real. And towns even have Bigfoot festivals.
I would like to go to a Bigfoot festival.
Really, man?
Festivals are usually always fun.
Do you think they have special food? Because festivals, you're all about the food at the festival.
I know. That's why I like the Oyster Festival, but I don't know. Maybe
Bigfoot oysters?
No. South Carolina, but maybe they have like some raw venison or I don't know.
Like, eat what Bigfoot eats.
Right, exactly.
Cows.
Mushrooms and blueberries.
The hearts of virgin unicorns. Like, yeah.
I'm pretty sure if Bigfoot's real, they are responsible for the demise of unicorns.
I don't think in my happy world, Bigfoot and the unicorns frolic together.
Frolic together?
Yes, they frolic.
Like have sex?
No! They just, like, bound around in the woods. Well, maybe being Bigfoot, elusive.
Maybe Bigfoot rides on the back of the unicorn.
Exactly. And then the unicorn makes rainbow sparkle farts and everything is good and happy.
That's their camouflage.
Yes, exactly. And the rainbow sparkle farts of the unicorns open a portal. Bigfoot goes through it. Boom. There you go. And that's why everyone thinks Bigfoot smells so bad, but it's really the unicorn farts.
That's right.
Okay. Anyways. This was not what the podcast was supposed to be about.
I know.
All right. Anyways, so all of that stuff is like a firestorm and it's kind of a cash cow. Bigfoot. Who knew and why? And how did the Bigfoot resurgence and revival begin again in the U.S. and Canada?
Did it begin again?
Yes.
Thanks to television and social media.
Well, let me tell you. According to Smithsonian Magazine, quote, in 1958, footprints transformed the myth into a media sensation. The tracks were planted near Bluff Creek in Northern California by a man named Ray Wallace, but his prank was not revealed until his death in 2002 when his children had said it had all been just a joke.
Can I tell you how awesome that is?
Oh my God. No.
To have such a long running prank that people buy into.
Man.
That's fantastic. It's like the ultimate. For us pranksters, that's like, he's like iconic.
He is iconic.
Man.
So, back then there was like a headline in the Humboldt Times in 1958 and it said, Giant Footprints Puzzle Residents. And since then, you know, in Ray Wallace's prank, there's been a growing and growing cultural obsession with the possibility of a large bipedal furry creature roaming around.
Right.
And then when the famous Patterson-Gimlin tapes happened in the late 1960s, right?
Yeah.
People became even more excited because it was filmed in the same area as the alleged Wallace hoax,
so
right?
So two hoaxes in the same proximity.
People have not debunked officially Patterson-Gimlin tape at all, actually. There's,
I know, but the guy who made the costume said it was fake.
And they can't prove he made the costume.
I know.
All right, so that's not what this specific podcast is about. For some cryptozoologists, the problem is that there are so many hoaxes that even believers like Maine's Lauren Coleman, the founder of the International Cryptozoology Museum in Portland, Maine, says, quote, you want to say that quote, Boo?
Technology has ruined the old cryptozoology.
That sounds like a B-52s or tech, like Talking Heads song in the early 90s.
Kind of, yeah. But it's true.
Like Radio Killed the Video Star. Technology has ruined the cryptozoology.
Nothing
doesn't
can,
work.
Nothing can be an urban legend anymore.
Yeah.
Just plain and simple, you know what I mean? Yeah. Passed down, handed down from generation to generation. Word, just word of mouth.
Yeah. So anyways, like, technology's ruined it because with a little bit of Adobe Photoshop and some CGI and some Adobe Illustrator, you can make some amazing things. That was a total shout out to Adobe, so hopefully they should sponsor us and
they
be our
totally
first ever
sponsor.
All right, anyway, even on the Bigfoot Now Facebook group, alleged believers are turning on other alleged believers. Here's like what one posted this week. Just some food for thought in the hopes of people making up stories of encounters go away. They're bad for the science. They're just making believers look bad. When you call them on their story, they'll never share location pictures, DNA evidence, video, nothing. But they call you a troll. And another one.
Wait. Do any of the believers ever share DNA evidence?
Not on the Facebook Bigfoot Now group. No.
Yeah.
And the other, another one countered, DNA evidence? Who has an encounter and gets DNA evidence? What, do they rip off a chunk of their own hair and walk up and give it to you? If someone has an encounter and they don't get video or DNA from that encounter, LOL, what a joke. That could last seconds. That means the person is not telling the truth. And so there's a little bit of a tip.
That's very true.
And that group, just that one group on Facebook, has 42,000 members.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That's a lot, right?
It is.
And I mean, I have to side with the people who are like, you're not going to get freaking DNA evidence or even sometimes a video, because we were driving and bear cubs crossed in front of the road with their mama bear and I couldn't get a good video
of
it. Oh
no, that was like a split second.
But
really,
that's gotta be what a lot of it is, like, if Bigfoot's real for people who see it. Like,
oh,
you're stunned,
totally.
And you're shocked.
I totally agree.
Like, if you do think and have the wits to get your camera, like, you're fumbling all around.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Is there even such a thing as Bigfoot DNA evidence?
No, because
there's not, because there's no proven comparative.
Right. All right, so anyways, Ben Crayer wrote for the Smithsonian, some people see these crypto hominids as symbols of pure freedom, living by instinct and foiling every effort to pin them down.
They're smart motherfuckers.
To search for Bigfoot in the forest is to taste that freedom. On the trail, you become extra attuned to nature, the smell of scat. That makes that sound romantic. the smell of shit, the sounds of breaking branches, the curious impressions in the dirt. As long as there are wild places in America, Bigfoot remains a possibility to its most ardent proponents that cannot be disproved. Right?
Yes, but it's got to be proven.
All right, but I like the romantic aspect of that. And I have to say that, like, there's a part of it that might be true. Like, that feeling of, like, being in nature and free, it was super true for me as a little kid, right? But the thoughts in the United States and Canada and are changing about Bigfoot. And a lot of that change is negative in their perception of Bigfoot.
Really?
And it's coming from a YouTube channel, The Facts by How to Hunt, where the host, a backwoods hunter and guide, it's amazing because he shares all these emails from listeners who have seen or heard or believe in Bigfoot. He has
268,000. You're already saying the hundred in the
numbers are hot for us.
268, not for us. 268,000 subscribers.
That's a lot. Here, he has a lot of subscribers. And to be fair, I used to listen, but something about his voice just kind of lulled me to sleep.
Every time she fell asleep, I'd come downstairs, she'd be on the couch snoring, and I'd hear that guy talking.
And his voice is just really comforting to me. It was like having your dad read you stories at night, and you like fall asleep to like the nice, confident sound of your daddy's voice. All right, anyways. What? Don't sigh.
I'm not sighing at you at all. All
right. A lot of these stories are about, on his channel, are about Bigfoot being nefarious. He's not some chill guy that you want to hang out with in Harry and the Hendersons. Or slightly annoyed and bullied Sasquatch and Jack in the Jack Lynx commercials, right?
Oh, that guy's slightly annoyed, all
right. Oh, yeah. Or my personal favorite is Sax Squatch, the Insta sensation who plays his sax and
sits. I haven't seen him.
Oh, I'll show you after.
That's the podcast. Awesome. Yeah.
So anyways, in these stories on the How to Hunt channel, Bigfoot, and they don't like calling him Bigfoot because they think it's derogatory, so Sasquatch is terrorizing a lot of people in these stories. And one of the latest videos is about him terrorizing guides in the Northwest Territories where the Sasquatch are screaming and yelling and wrecking things. And someone described the smell as, quote, hard to describe, kind of like a skunk got into a fight with a wet dog over a dead deer covered with cow manure.
Yeah.
That's a great description.
That is a
As
good
a writer, I'm like, ooh, I'm all in on that description. Like, that's good.
But, never mind.
For many people, wait, what is your thing?
Well, how do people know what's terrorizing them if they never see it? They only go by smell.
Well,
because you know what else is a terrorizing type animal in the woods that also has pretty long hair that can have a nasty smell?
A skunky wonky?
No, a bear.
Oh. Bears don't terrorize you.
Oh, they don't tear up your camp while you're gone if you lose some food?
Oh, well, yeah, they definitely do that.
I mean, I don't know.
All right, so for many people, Bigfoot is potentially part of a much bigger conspiracy that might involve nuclear scientists and aliens and maybe some portals and kidnappings. And Bigfoot... Baby, why are you laughing?
Because it's like such a societal mentality of late. If you can't explain what you really believe, just expand the rationale. Oh, we can't explain Bigfoot as just a mere bipedal, hominid on Earth. But if we throw in some alien ship and some other stuff, oh, makes perfect sense.
Yeah, man.
Right.
All right, so anyways, there's some noise in our house. Is it perhaps Bigfoot?
Yes, probably.
It's actually called Dogfoot hitting the door.
I gotta tell you what, yeah. Not to change the subject, but I was in two different houses today.
Yeah.
And in both of those houses, It sounded like somebody was on the floors above me. Ooh. It was like a ghost was following me around today.
I wouldn't doubt it, man. You're sexy. All right, so. Well,
I was walking around naked, but.
Well, that's what happens when you hire Sean as your caretaker. So.
Jesus. I guess I won't be getting any new clients. Right.
So, some people, however, think that Bigfoot is a little bit more cuddly than that. And the juxtaposition in these perceptions of Bigfoot is not new. In a popular mechanics article, Matt Blitz writes, in California, there are century-old pictographs drawn by the Yukuts that appear to show a family of giant creatures with long, shaggy hair, called Myuk-Datat, and apologies, because I do not know that language, by the tribe, the image bears a resemblance to the commonly held vision of Bigfoot. Some tribes really love Bigfoot, and they have a great relationship with him, says Kathy Moskowitz. Strain. I speak English and I had a hard time with that. Author of the book Giants, Cannibals, and Monsters, Bigfoot and Native Culture, an archaeologist with the U.S. Forest Service. Quote, to other tribes, though, like the Mohawks, he's an absolute ogre, a monster, and something best left alone. So even the most elementary questions, is Bigfoot real or not? Is Bigfoot good enough? They're freaking inconclusive, right?
Yeah.
But for Shawnee, as we discussed on our other podcast, Loving the Strange, which is live and terrible and you should never ever listen to if you want to think good love things about us, there are three main thoughts, right? Remember you went through this? Oh, one, no. Bigfoot might be a hominid, an ancient branch of the tree, related to us, but not us, right?
Okay, yeah.
One theory is Bigfoot's an alien or an alien pet. Maybe he's the pet of the unicorn. People link Bigfoot to UFOs and orbs and portals. And then the final one is Bigfoot is a spiritual creature and not of this dimension or beyond it. Right?
Yeah.
Do you have a thought? If Bigfoot's real, babe.
I want to see a body.
God, you're a pain in the ass. All right, so.
If Bigfoot's real?
Yeah.
Well, if Bigfoot's real.
You're not going to see a body if he's a spiritual creature. I have to say,
if he's of this world. He's not alien. He's not that spiritual.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so let me tell you my Bigfoot story. So you can all
never think. Oh, please do.
Like, I honestly feel I can never run for political office if I tell this story.
Well, you know, I just read the first line of your story, and it might be a little bit counterproductive to the actual story.
You're such a dick. You're not supposed to read ahead.
But it makes sense, right?
What I'm saying? Yes, but don't read ahead and no one else knows what you're talking about.
I will in a minute.
I hate you so much. Why are we married?
Because. It's because of.
Because I thought you were giving me health insurance. He said, what the fuck? No, it was a joke. It was funny. I don't think Shani thought it was funny. Okay,
we're
married because I love you so very much, despite the fact that we think so differently. And you're my anchor and my stable bunny. Although you're not much like a bunny. You're more like a bear or a Bigfoot. Maybe we're married because you're so...
Bigfoot-like?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Without the fur.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're so cute. That's why. All right, so here's the sentence, Shani took a dig at me with, and then I responded with my own joke, and then, end of the world. So, when I was born, they thought I was blind, but I wasn't, and I had an eye operation when I was a year old, and that operation improved my sight, but I only see with one eye, which makes my depth perception pretty much non-existent, right?
Most times.
And what? Softball is to my family, like football is to the Kennedys. And the spoiler here is that you can't play softball very well with no depth perception.
You know you can't play any kind of ball.
No, I really can't. So my family played softball at every single birthday party, every family reunion, every outdoor holiday. And I was so terrible. I was the biggest whiffer in the world that they basically never let me play. And they're super competitive and they weren't the nicest people about it, honestly. Love them, but not nice, right?
That's not your fault, really.
No, I know, but I was little.
It's not like you just sucked at it. It's
I
like
totally
you
sucked
had a
at it.
Very valid reason.
All right, so I sucked at softball. Everybody wasn't super cool about it because nobody wanted me on their team because I sucked. So at one family reunion at Bear Brook State Park in New Hampshire in the late 1970s or early 80s, I think, I was really, really sad about this. And my cousin, who was the same age as I was, they let him play every time, even though he was little too.
Well, he probably had depth perception.
I don't know. Right? He did have glasses. When I tried, everyone would laugh at me, which was also typical of my family. And my brother would yell, "Squirt's a bat, doesn't count. She's too awful." It's not funny. So I was 5 or 6, and all this negativity one time was too much for me. I was pretty sensitive, obviously. And I took off to my mom, like, to get mommy comfort, but she was flirting. And she told me to go play by myself.
Who was she flirting with?
Let's not talk about that. So I was just in this little kid mindset of, I'll run away, and then maybe they'll miss me and realize how awful they are. Right?
Typical.
I know. I still do that. So I stomped off. And there were a lot of woods and trails, and I had spent most of my little life in the woods and trails because I was a latchkey kid, and I wasn't ever afraid of the outside. I thought that, you know, people were worse than bears because bears don't make fun of your lack of softball skills. So I was taking off crying. I walked a ways. I headed up a hill because there was a cool cave-like overhang there that, like, could have treasure, and I had read a lot of pirate books up to that. I was a really early reader, and I write novels now, so reading is just a part of me. And so, you know, I was like, pirates, you know? And I was like, let's go explore. And I think that I read so much just because it would make me feel less alone, because I was the youngest by, like, 14 or 15 years, so I was alone a lot. So, anyways, it was all New Hampshire-y. It was all pine needles that had fallen and granite, because that's what New Hampshire is. And I just kind of flopped on the ground back up against this granite ledge near the cave entrance, and I cried my little kid heart out, because that is me.
Poor baby.
And so then there was the sound of, like, these heavy footsteps, and I thought for a second, wow, they actually looked for me. And I was super stunned and really excited. And then there was that smell, right? In my memory, there's this smell that's like part skunk and rotting, part my Nana's BO. It was just, my Nana was wonderful, but had terrible BO. And it was just nasty, and I gagged a little bit. And then the weird part was, like, there was a clucking noise that I heard. It was like when you pull your tongue across the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
Our oldest daughter hates that noise, but it was like a very obvious noise, right? And I definitely heard that noise before in my, like, house and my woods, which was pretty far away, like, from Bear Brook State Park. And I was still thinking at this point that it was my mom or my old brother or somebody. And I said something like, everyone hates me and nobody loves me. It's all about stupid. Like, really self-pitying. Totally me as a grown-up and a little kid. And then I thought I heard, like, a woman's voice making these noises that sounded like a different language. Like, Japanese, maybe, or Korean. I had no clue. But I knew that wasn't my mom and definitely wasn't my brother. And I pulled my head out of my knees, and there was this thing in my little kid brain. When I remember this, like, I remember not being able to understand what it was. Like, I knew that it wasn't a bear. I knew it was, like, kind of squatting in front of me. Right? If, yeah. I wish you all could see Sean's face, because it's like the most I don't believe you face ever.
No.
And it was almost like it was mimicking my posture. And I can remember the eyes as being big and dark, and there was no muzzle like a bear, and it reminded me, like, of this ape that had a baby with Frankenstein's monster. Jeez. And, like, that's
so Bigfoot's ugly, huh?
In my, well, yeah, and, like, the hair was, like, sort of long and thin stranded, and, like, it covered most of their face, and it had eyes that were big and they were brown. And they were really nice, and they looked smart, you know? But to be fair, I think our dog's eyes look smart. And so I gasped. Like, I can remember.
You sure it wasn't just a homeless person?
I don't know. I gasped, and I remember gasping, and then I just remember being smushed into this big being, like, in arms around me, and it smelling so bad, and it was like this bear, again, mixed with skunk cabbage, mixed with apple juice and old underwear. And it was just, and pot, now that I know what pot smells like, and poop. And, like, I can't describe it perfectly, and I keep failing, but it was, like, the furry, hairy stuff was coarse against my face. My glasses, I remember, were smushed, like, and into my sinuses. Like, I have these really tactile memories of this.
Those are very specific memories.
Of this event that I don't know if it's real or not, right?
Yep.
So we moved, and in my memory, I know we moved, and my feet were not on the ground. Like, I remember that. And I don't know if I was supposed to try to wrap my legs around the creature. Like, I remember being really confused. Like, am I supposed to do a piggyback? And I couldn't figure it out. And I just kind of froze. Like, the next thing I remember is just, like, freezing and my brain going blank and not really processing anything at all.
Huh.
Right? And, like, I don't know how long it was. It seemed like eternity, but it seemed like a second. And it was just this weird thing that was happening with my brain and my memory. And then the person or the Bigfoot or the illusion let go. And in my memory of it, it was definitely a she, because there were boobies. And I fixed my glasses. Like, I mean, I guess it could have been a really fleshy guy peck, but whatever.
Right.
Like, I have this absolute memory of fixing my glasses and being really glad that I didn't lose them, because I would always get, like, that was, like, the end of the world, because glasses cost money.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know that, right?
I definitely know that.
And I remember saying thank you, which is so funny, because, like, I remember how my voice sounded funny to me, and I would have said thank you, which seems absurd.
Oh, yes, that would have been totally you to say thank you.
Because I was a super polite little kid. Like, I always won most courteous. People made fun of me for being too polite. Like, every time I answer the phone, still I'm like, hello, this is Carrie. even though they call me, you know, it's just like, that's how dumb I am about being polite. And it was kind of a character flaw, and it's a thing people in my family made fun of me about. But I remember her hand, I think it was a hand on my back, and it was like bigger than Sean's hand, which is a really big deal thing, and it was like bigger than my whole body, but I was really little, you know, so.
But still, that's a big.
It was a big, big hand.
Yeah.
And we were back on the boardwalk, and I took off back to the ball field, and in my little head, I was like, that was a Bigfoot. I think I was hugged by a Bigfoot. Oh my God, that was a Bigfoot. And when I got back, my mom yelled at me for leaving, because I guess I'd been away for a bit, and for smelling so badly. And one of my shoes was missing, and like one of my socks was missing. I was a mess. My glasses were a little bit busted, but they're still on my face. But they're all, you know how like your glasses
get
tweaked?
Yeah, they
get
misshapen from being squished.
They were totally misshapen. And I was a mess. And I started crying again because my mom was so mad because I had gone away. And I knew I was in trouble, and I'm like, I saw Bigfoot! And I didn't tell her that Bigfoot hugged me, because I wasn't that stupid. And my mom was like, you saw a bear! And, like, then I was like, there's no way I'm telling my mom that a bear hugged me, because she was already really hysterical, because she thought I saw a bear. And my brother's like, she didn't see a bear, she's just a liar, and she wants attention. And to be fair, I did want attention, but not that kind of attention, right? And so what I wanted was to be a softball superstar at the age of like 5 or 6. But there was like a fallout for this, because for the next few years, as my brain tried to process what it was, you know, our memories are so shifty that eventually it became like, did this happen? You know what I mean? And as an adult, as a little kid, I was positive it happened. But now as a grown-up, I'm like, well, memory is a weird thing. You can tweak it and blah, blah, blah. But for the next few years of my childhood, I spent a lot of time looking for Bigfoot in the woods behind my house in Bedford, New Hampshire, just, like, constantly searching. And I was sure that if I could, I could probably convince a Bigfoot to come back to my house somehow if I made the right clucking noises. And then I could convince my mom that I wasn't a lying liar head who lied, right? But I also looked at the woods a little differently. Like, I'd never been afraid of the woods. But sometimes there'd be this hush and a foreboding feeling, you know, like when a bear's around.
Right.
And I'd never had that feeling before. The woods had always just, like, been my place of comfort and solace and adventure. And that's why I ran into it that day at the campground. Like, when my stepfather died, the first thing I did when I got home, because he didn't die at home, was run into the woods.
Right.
Like, that was my safe space. And it was my closet, my under the covers, the book where I would get lost, you know?
I do.
So after that event, which may or may not have happened, I would tromp all through the swamp behind our house, over the granite boulders, up and down the pine-covered hills, looking and looking and smelling. And the closest I ever came to spotting Bigfoot was when I had a massive fever and I was homesick from school and I looked out my window and I saw something huge and furry that took up all the window space and I screamed that King Kong was coming and about to stomp our house. So, like, yeah, I never found Bigfoot again. And then, like, I kind of repressed it all for a long, long while and I didn't think about it too much and I didn't tell anyone because, you know, I have Mr. Shawnee over here, and it's taken me years to even tell him, like, the whole story of that. Yeah, I heard it
before this, but...
But, like, you know, I was like, you're never gonna believe me, I don't know, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, like, you've heard that story, and it's a weird story, and again, as I've grown older and more reporter-like, I've convinced myself that it just can't be true. That I have to have conflated things somehow... Because brains are weird and...
I don't know if that's fair to yourself, baby.
Memories are weird and I don't really trust my own, right?
Yeah.
But then I started watching that YouTube channel, right? About Bigfoot. And it made me think to look up Fairbrook State Park in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And also Google the words Bigfoot with it. And I found a couple things. So the first is from BigfootEncounters.com. And I'm just going to read you the story,
okay. Right?
Unless you would like to read the story and give me a break.
No, you don't need a break.
Man, I'm so thirsty.
I'll read the story. Take a drink.
All right, go. Can you read it?
Yes.
It
was around 1983 or 1984. This small town is located just south of Concord, New Hampshire. And there is a huge state park there called Bear Brook State Park. The same place that Carrie had her encounter.
That's why it came up in my Google search.
It covers many acres with just one road cutting through it, and there are no houses except for a few at the edge of the forest on either end. I was a passenger in a vehicle cutting through this gigantic forest at about 2 o'clock in the morning. We saw something walk across the road about 15 feet in front of the car, and it continued walking into the woods. At the time, I didn't even know about Bigfoot. The night was October 31st, Halloween. Imagine that. We were both completely sober. A lot of trick-or-treating in Bear Brook State Park.
No, no there isn't. It's really out there, but...
We were both completely sober coming home via a shortcut from visiting friends. I wondered, what is someone doing out here alone, dressed up like a gorilla at this hour, in the middle of the woods where no one can see him? And where is he going? With no home or vehicle around for miles.
It's really not... It was not a built-up...
Oh, well, area. If okay. It goes right through the park, there's only houses on either end, right?
It's, yeah.
I don't know if it's a 2-foot road or a 200-mile road or what, but this was no man. I never talked about this sighting to anybody except my husband.
Just like me.
I now realize that this thing matches other descriptions I've seen on TV and on www.bigfootencounters.com website. This thing was a male. Wait a minute.
I know, like, how do they know?
They both saw his big swinging schlong. This thing was a male packing some serious heat.
That doesn't make
sense.
About
7 to 8 feet tall. I saw a huge chest, less hairy than the rest of the body, as he passed in front of the car. And I asked, are the high beams on? This thing just crashed through the bushes off the side of the road like nothing. Then he stopped briefly and turned and looked back at me before moving deeper into the woods like he'd gone this way before. Excuse me. In the dark woods, I don't recall seeing details of the face as he was already about 20 feet away. In the road, I had seen him sideways, but I remember the chest as he turned. And I remember thinking that this guy is wearing a head-to-toe Halloween costume. He took large strides and moved rather quickly, not appearing to be confused or lost at all. And the way he moved was like the creature in that video. You know that video.
I'm assuming.
He turned his shoulders with the head, not turning a neck the way a human does.
Or if you're wearing a costume, honestly.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
His big head was rounded and covered with long, dark hair. His shoulders were rounded and his build was stocky. He must have weighed at least 300 pounds and he was covered in long, black hair about 3 inches in length. I remember thinking that he did not walk the way a man does, as he hunched a little forward as he moved. I remember wondering initially who this man was trying to impress, because he had no audience. And it was pitch black out there, with no streetlights at all. Now I'm thinking that these creatures must have superb night vision. What? Why was you into Bigfoot stories with that?
I don't know, man.
Not, rather than now I'm a believer or something like that.
Anyways, Angela wasn't scared at all. She's a story giver right there, right? She was just curious about it. And like she said, she didn't think about it for years and years and years.
Right.
Bear Brook State Park was also the sighting of one public BRFO report in the mid-1970s or potentially late 1960s. The report contradicts itself because, I don't know. Anyways, a woman at a Girl Scout camp reported that she was in a tent with a bunch of Girl Scouts and had an encounter where a being, grunting and bad-smelling, pushed down on her tent, and others driving on a road had a sight of that of an 8-foot-tall being, right?
Really?
Yeah. So this story, I'm just going to read part of it.
Okay.
Is, once again, in Bear Brook State Park, there's a Girl Scout day camp.
Yeah.
Across the street from New Rye Road is a camping museum and snowmobile museum that used to be a nature museum. If you go straight on that dirt path, you end up at the Girl Scout camp, right?
Yep.
It was a 2-week event. The older campers were allowed to have a single overnight in the last few days. It was 67, 68, late July. There were 3 5-person tents. I was a senior and in the tent closest to the woods. The evening was spent cooking hot dogs and hamburgers and marshmallows and s'mores.
That sounds fantastic.
I know, with lots of singing, laughing, and screaming. We all retired around 10 p.m. In the middle of the night, around 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., I was woken by something softly grunting and pushing down on the top of the tent.
That was just a dude.
We have raccoons, but no bears in, I get the irony, Bear Brook State Park. I don't know if that's actually true, because New Hampshire has black bears everywhere. Right. The other girls in my tent were trying to stay quiet, but still panicking and not so quietly. I said, it's just one of the other girls. I was a camper since age 9 with a father who was a practical joker. So I said loudly, that's not how you do it. This is how it's done. And I dug my nails into the canvas and made a roaring, growling sound, clawed down the canvas hard and fast, and hit something soft but solid on the outside of the cloth. You know, that girl is the first person to die in a horror movie. I just gotta say that. Like, it's always those obnoxious, cocky ones who die. Anyways, I was picturing a man's hand, fist, kind of like knuckles, and there was a loud grunt, growl, and crashing away from us through the brush, just on the other side of the tent. Now the girls in my tent are screaming hysterically about bears. The rest of the campers are opening my tent, and all pandemonium broke loose. No one admitted to playing a prank, and the leaders in the other two tents all day insisted everyone was accounted for, and no one had left the tents, not even for a potty run. There was a funky smell, though, that no one could recognize. The park rangers swore there were none in their area. I think they're saying bears. And they were all up north for the summer, and we had never heard of Bigfoot. I fear I'm repeating myself, but I didn't even know such a thing existed. So, unexplainable incident that, with hindsight, I'm thinking, could it have been? The entire area for square miles has always been swarming with deer, even still today.
Well, it wasn't a deer.
Well, deer don't have
nothing. There's probably some dude that wandered into a Girl Scout camp. He lost his balance while he was outside the tent jerking off. Accidentally, like, leaned on the side
of
the tent.
Oh, my gosh, John.
That would account for the grunting. Like that. And then he got scared when she did her reaction and ran off into the woods.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. So around midnight...
As a matter of fact, he might have even got so scared he pooped himself, which would account for the smell.
That could. Or peed himself.
Yeah.
So she has another story.
What?
Yeah. Around midnight, a group of my friends around the same time along a long stretch of desolate section of the Deerfield Road in the middle of Bear Brook State Park. They drove the car around a curve, thought it was a girl Halloween costume, and there it was.
That's the same story as the other one.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It was like 35 degrees out. It was cold. They're like, what the heck is, why is somebody out here? It's freezing. They're going through the thick bicker brush, right?
Yeah.
And like, there's no path on either side of the road. It was just really thick woods and underbrush, stone walls everywhere. And the creature never broke its stride as it stepped lithely over the stone wall and slid with ease through the thick underbrush. She also says that there's a family in the Gilmartin area of New Hampshire who have had Bigfoot visits for years, and they leave leftovers out and get thank you gifts in return, like, which is kind of funny. Anyways.
That is funny, actually.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was engrossed in thought.
So when the Bigfoot BRFO investigator talked to her, she said it was in 67, 68. He says it's in the early 70s. And just basically summarized her report. But
he doesn't take very good notes, huh?
Or maybe she changed the year? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Yeah, but isn't that crazy?
Yeah. There's more stories about the park?
And there's another one about that same place.
Okay.
Ready?
I'll read it.
Okay.
A listener writes.
That sounds very NPR.
Yeah, it does.
A listener writes. Sorry.
A contributing listener writes, My wife, son, and dog just came back from a couple nights camping in Bear Brook State Park in New Hampshire. The campground is 3 to 4 miles into a 10,000-acre park. Fairly remote. The last night, just after 2 a.m., we woke up to the sound of light metal banging. It sounded like it could have been tent poles.
Oops.
I looked outside the tent toward the neighboring site and saw a bluish-white light moving back and forth. It probably stretched about 30 yards wide and fairly high into the trees, although dimmer as it got higher.
So loud. Why are you laughing?
Because if you're on the ground shining a light into the sky, it always gets dimmer as it gets higher.
Yeah, but, you know, he's just being his detail-oriented.
Look, I'll tell you what it was. It was the neighbors, the people in the neighboring campsite. They were on a cot, one of those old-fashioned metal cots, mm-hmm. hence the metal sound. They were having sex. He was wearing a headlamp, and his light was, like, facing up into the sky.
Have you read the rest of the story?
Oh, no.
All right.
I initially thought it must be the guy with a flashlight looking at what was making noise outside the tent. But then I saw what looked like a rod of light, maybe a foot long, that seemed to be going in and out of the top corner of the tent.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Now, this could have been an LED light bar. What is this from?
It
doesn't say.
It's not that old. Like, it's within the last couple of years.
Okay.
Read aloud. It's a podcast.
I forgot where I was. But the behavior seemed erotic. And it
erratic.
Was, oh, erratic.
Erratic, and not it, erotic.
And it was
oh
above
God.
Where the tent windows were. It also seemed to be easily going in and out of the tent, which was weird behavior as well. I don't understand that. No joking. Then the light entered the tent fully and lit it up very bright. But this time you could see the silhouette of someone on a cot.
On a cot! What? That's what I was like, did
and
you
they
do that?
Raised up off the cot about a foot, slightly arched at the waist, lower back. It was super creepy because that's what you see in the movies. I thought maybe it was the guy lifting up a sleeping bag or lifting up his son, but the weird part was there's no silhouette of someone standing up. Just the light, the cot, and what appeared to be a horizontal body.
Maybe he was doing a little solo adventure.
Yeah.
Maybe you were right.
I know.
Okay.
Shortly after, the light quickly became much dimmer and illuminated only the lower corner of the tent. That's when he was cleaning up. Which is weird for light to uniformly spread across only one elevation, but not at least mildly illuminate the rest. Then the light either got very bright again, or maybe it was just flickered, but soon it was gone from the tent. He turned it off.
I just want to say that you are amazing at making any podcast naughty and sexual.
No, that's
somehow.
Not what it is. But all I can right. make almost any life event have an alternative erotic reality.
I know.
Right at that time, a small orb about the size of a baseball appeared just above the same corner the first rod light was seen. This slowly moved away and slightly higher. It probably started out around 6-7 feet off the ground and moved to about 15 to 20. At that point, I recognized a look and behavior. What? I have heard on your show. Okay. At that point, I recognized a look and behavior I have heard on your show. It gave off a light pole, right? White, blue, purple light.
Light, pale, white, blue, purple light. And it only.
What the hell is light, pale, white?
I don't know.
White, light, pale, white, /blue/purple light. and only barely illuminated its immediate surroundings, if at all. It was bright, but dim at the same time. I could just have been scared from the start. I had a distinct feeling I didn't want the light to catch me watching. That was all we needed to see. Some got in the car and left. At this time, all the lights were gone. When we were leaving, we saw the guy outside his tent looking around. I can't remember if behalf.
I think he had
a flashlight on, but if he did, it was very dim. We quickly stopped and asked him if something was banging around over there, and he said there was a possum, a big one, and it wouldn't leave. So maybe that was all it was, and hopefully that was the case. However, I'm still creeped out by the following. As soon as we woke up, my wife and I were both shaking almost involuntarily, as if we were freezing. Scaredy cats. I realized afterwards I didn't remember going to bed. I asked my wife and she said the same. We both remember getting into bed but not falling asleep. That's weird for me. It usually takes a while. The immediate feeling the lights I was seeing were conscious in a way, and I didn't want to be seen. Like the lights out of consciousness is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
The levitating silhouette. The small orb moving upwards and away. I took a photo out the tent window when I went back to take a closer look at perspective and scale. This thing was well above the tent.
So
that's a screwed up story.
Yeah, right? Like, and one of the commenters on that story wrote, which is like kind of totally different. Do you want to talk about that story at all?
That story I just read?
Yeah, man.
Do I want to talk about it at all?
That's what I just asked.
Like, how?
Do you have any thoughts?
I really think that if the guy said it was a possum...
It was a possum.
It was him in the tent, like, shining his flashlight around, trying to figure out what the fuck the noise was right outside of his tent.
Yeah, that makes sense. But what about the levitation?
Oh, that was just some sort of illusion because of the light going... Because, you know, if you're looking through the tent wall, you're seeing... All you can see from... If you see a solid object in the light, all you're seeing is the actual... Like the shadow?
Yeah.
But it's the actual thing, but it's a shadow, right?
You're so cute when you're figuring things out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so...
But what if he was laying on the cot, and he shined the light at such an angle, and it kind of somehow just illuminated his body from underneath?
I can't figure that out, but I'm sure anything is optically possible.
Oh, you know what I mean?
Like, so under that story, a commenter wrote, Wes, I don't know who Wes is... Did once interview a woman who lives on the perimeter on family-owned property who said there were families of Bigfoot there, which is surprising because this park is quite close to the state capital in Concord.
Well, you know, there are some government people that are actually Bigfoots.
Not in New Hampshire.
So maybe that's where they live.
We have yet to explore it due to family issues, but it's our goal to go investigating there. I'm not sure if this above story happened in the summer or in December of 2020. Who goes camping in this weather? It was warm and rainy on Christmas Day, however. There was still snow on the ground, I'm sure. And they're like, did they send in any photos? And there was no answer.
No, of course no photos. I mean,
all right.
There was hardly cell phones back in 2020. I mean, how would you take a photo?
It was dark, man. All right, so anyways, this park, right?
Yeah.
Where my possible Bigfoot sighting happened was also the site of some very gruesome murders.
Really?
Between 1977 and 1981. And we're going to have a future podcast about this, but I think it's important to mention it here. The bodies were found in 1985 and 2000, and the murders might not have actually happened there, but the bodies were definitely found there. Kind of half buried.
I've heard about these before.
In steel drums, right?
Yeah.
It's a nasty, nasty case. And again, we're going to cover it on a future podcast, but it's just weird and horrible. And that case begins when a hunter found one of those barrels near a park, near the park in November of 1985.
Near Bearbrook State Park.
It's really like right on the border.
Okay. But it was near the park.
Basically,
okay.
almost in the damn park.
Okay.
Yeah. So the hunter looked inside the barrel, and in the barrel there was a skull, and it was a human skull, and it turned out there were four people in the barrels, And some of those people were kids. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty sad. And Bear Brook State Park is this gorgeous place, but like it has a history, you know, like just like the rest of this continent has a history.
Well, I think a lot of state parks that are outside of a fairly large metropolitan area have a history, especially when it comes to bodies and stuff.
I don't think Lemoyne State Park in Lemoyne, Maine does.
Because it's in a tiny little rural area.
Well, this is a very rural area of New Hampshire.
But how far away? It's close to Concord, it just said.
And it's kind of close to Manchester. It's not that far. Right. Really, like, by car.
I mean, you could drive a couple. It's totally worth it to drive a couple hours to dump a body.
Probably. Having never murdered anyone, I would not.
Well, let me tell you.
So here's my other weird aside for this story, right? Because I am all about the weird asides. When I was in college working at the security department as a dispatcher, because I was poor, and had to do work study and all sorts of things. That sounds like I did illegal things. I had to do all sorts of things.
Sounds like you might have been giving some blowjobs to get through.
No, I was thinking like stripping or something. Anyways, the head of security looked at me funny one day, just really randomly. And he's like, have you ever been abducted?
Like, you should have said yes. I spent 5 years living under the bed of this couple that kept me as their sex slave.
No, it was really weird, right? Like, super weird.
What did he mean, like alien?
Well, the moment he said it, I went, boom, right back to my little kid time in Bear Brook State Park and the potential Sasquatch event. But it turned out that he actually did mean aliens. Okay. And I didn't tell him what happened, even though he was, like, so super open to that sort of thing. And he did believe in aliens, and he did believe in Sasquatch. And in his former jobs, he had super high-level clearance, working with much bigger universities than ours, and dealing with Secret Service stuff all the time. And he told me back then all kinds of things that I thought were so stupid and foolish, and later turned out to be true, like cell phones and credit cards and cryptocurrency, and, like, he was way ahead of the game on so many of those tech things, right? That doesn't mean he's right about this other stuff, but it does make me think, oh my gosh, what did I discount from him that I maybe should have paid him more attention to, right?
Yeah.
So he provided a lot of protection for dignitaries like presidents and heads of state, and he was an undersheriff in another Midwestern state. He had a master's in criminal justice. He was a very, very well-educated, articulate, soft-spoken, interesting man, right?
Yep.
And he believed things that I never expected anyone to believe back then who was not smoking something illegal.
Yeah.
And the whole thing floored me because I had spent so long, like, not telling people things about my past, like, not just Bigfoot stories, but, like, weird, random, like, coincidence-slash-psychic things that when he said, were you abducted? I basically went into flight or fright mode. And I chose open mouth fright and just clammed up and didn't tell him anything. Because I was like...
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah. I was just too weird and freaky. And I think the reason I really couldn't tell him or anyone much of my story until now is, you know, my brother not believing me, like, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, like, even once in the past, like, 20 years, right... I was walking with my daughter, she was a baby girl, on some ATV trails behind my
house
in Maine, right? And when I came, and we saw a bear, right? It was a bear, it was just a little black bear. And I came home, and I told my husband that we saw a bear.
Not me.
Not Shawnee. Other husband, because I'm a naughty, naughty woman who's been married before.
She's naughty.
I'm so naughty. Anyways, I told him, I'm like, we saw a bear. And Emily was like, bam! And he did not believe me about something as simple as, I just saw a bear in our backyard. So, like, then we had an osprey get shot down on our property. I call it in because it's illegal in Maine to shoot an osprey, right? And the game warden dispatcher people were like, they're like, it couldn't have been an osprey. And then the game warden, when he calls, he's like, it couldn't have been an osprey. And I'm like, it's a freaking osprey.
Yeah.
I saw it. I saw it. Let me tell, explain what the wing looks like. And they're like, it couldn't have been an osprey, but we'll come. And they came, and they're like, oh.
Yeah, it's an osprey?
It was an osprey. So, like, that's the thing. Like, when people don't believe you about something you experience, it can be, like, so devastating, especially when you're little.
Especially when you're little.
And, like... even as a grown-up, when you're like, it was a freaking osprey. I just saw a bear. I want to share this. And people are like, oh, no, you couldn't. Like, other people, like, they just push their truths on top of yours. And that just sucks, right?
Yeah.
And this guy, H. Verge, he has this entire book about his family's Bigfoot experience growing up in northern New Jersey in 1976. Our dog ate that book, actually. Our puppy.
She doesn't like Bigfoot.
No. But what's compelling to me about his story, which involves a lot of interaction up close and personal between young boys, his family, and a family of Bigfeet, is that they were so scared of so many things, like the actual Bigfeet and what they could possibly do to them on their property that summer as they gardened and played and lived, or just like walked down the road as a family, you know? Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing they were afraid of was that stigma, that fear that by telling people what they saw, they were going to be ridiculed. So they
always a possibility.
They couldn't get support because they were too afraid to tell, yep, you know?
That's a possibility.
And, like, it's so interesting to me when I think about my own experience, because I'm like, is that a trick of my memory? Am I trying to make it a trick of my memory because of stigma?
Right.
And I don't know. Like, I don't know. Even though I had my own experience, I still am like, is Bigfoot real? And other people who have had experiences, like, you'll never not know that Bigfoot's real once you've had it. But I'm like, I was so little. Like, oh, my gosh, you know? And I was sobbing in the woods and like, was it real or not? Like, did I create that reality to find comfort? And I still don't know. But it was nice to find other stories about that same area.
Well, apparently Bigfoot is big in Bear Brook State Park.
Apparently. And what I do know, after thinking about this far too much, is that I'm not going to go around telling other people that their experiences aren't true and that I have to see it myself to believe it. Because I just don't think I have the right to do that.
You know, I don't tell people their experiences are untrue.
No, I know. But you'd say, well, to believe it. And there's sort of like a, not that you're doing this, and that's not your intention, but like, when you're the person telling the story, and they're, and someone else is like, well, I gotta see it to believe it. It's like, well, that means you don't believe it. If you don't believe it, you don't believe me.
Oh, right. I understand what you're saying.
Does that mean, yeah.
Well, here's my thing.
All right.
And I'm going to expound upon it just a little.
Cool.
So my things always bring me a body, right?
Yeah.
And then people, and I totally agree with this, people are like, hey, if you spend a lot of time out in the woods, like a ton of time, as a hunter or a trapper or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
You don't run across carcasses. Like, you'll run across some bone. Like, you might see a deer jawbone.
Or antlers.
Or antlers, or yes, whatever. Yeah. But you don't find, like, a deer carcass or even a bear. You don't. You just don't really find animal carcasses in the wild. And that's because of the wonderful part of nature.
Right.
And how all those bugs and the animals distribute it and it gets broken down again and turned back into dirt, right? Mm-hmm. But what you do see all the time is all the hundreds of thousands of game cams that are out there. You do see bear, deer, turkeys.
Yeah.
Even human beings walking through the woods.
Even bobcats.
Bobcats. Coyotes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you name it. You mm-hmm. find it. You know, even small animals like possums or raccoons or wolverines or whatever.
Right.
But nobody's ever captured a good picture of a Bigfoot.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, you know, I'm just saying.
I don't know.
Start me off with a great picture and then bring me a body.
Well, with the magic of Adobe Photoshop.
No, man. No. It's got to be real.
Anyways, I don't know. If you listen to this podcast, please let us know if you think it's real or not.
I don't.
Or if you even think my memory is real.
Dude, I really want Bigfoot to be real. Don't be negative about my scientific.
I want my memory to be real because it would be so cool.
I want your memory to be real because it's very sweet. But I want Bigfoot to be real also.
Would an animal act like that? Well, I guess if you think
You're thinking about an animal, but you got to think about it more, probably a little more on the human side of the line than just animal side. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't know. It's very weird.
I don't
know
either.
Please don't think less of me now and stigmatize me over this.
Why would anybody stigmatize you?
Because people do. They stigmatize you.
You were just a kid, number one.
I know, but
I mean, jeez.
I was so sad. I was scared.
Oh, yeah.
But I was also sort of like, oh, something loves me.
I remember being sad like that as a little kid. I never had anything visit me.
I'm sorry you're in Florida, man. You had needed to
be. Oh, you don't think there's Bigfoot in Everglades?
I don't know.
He could have walked fucking 30 miles from the Everglades to my house and gave me a hug.
Hi, if I were a Bigfoot, I would have hugged you. You were the cutest little baby boy. You were so adorable. I can hug you now.
Oh, you will.
All right. Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We'll be back to true crime next week.
Sweet! Not that I didn't enjoy Bigfoot.
Thank you very much.
I like Bigfoot.
All right. Please like, share, subscribe. Listen to us on mute so we can have more listens. Donate,
because I'm getting tired of eating hot dogs.
Hot dogs are gross.
They're not gross. I'm just getting worn out.